take your Bibles tonight, turn to the first chapter of Romans, Romans chapter 1. We started this epistle a couple weeks ago. It was written by the Apostle Paul to the church at Rome, which was a large church when he wrote this letter. Remember, I told you that when he wrote this letter, the population of the capital of the Roman Empire, the city of Rome, had 4.1 million people in it. And so this was a church that was started when some Jewish folks that were in Jerusalem for the day of Pentecost went back to Rome, started this church. But we'll see tonight that when Paul wrote this letter, it was probably mainly a Gentile church. There's still Jews there, but probably a bigger Gentile membership than there was a Jewish membership. And again, it was written to review with this church the doctrine, what we believe as Christians and how what we believe ought to affect how we live. And so that's what Paul was trying to accomplish as he wrote this letter. We covered his salutation, which was the first seven verses, with the gospel right in the middle of it, because he couldn't wait until he got later on in the book when he started talking about Jesus. He had to stop in the middle of saying hello and tell them, you know, what they had in the Lord Jesus Christ. And by the way, it ought to be the same with us. When we think about the gospel, it doesn't matter what we're doing. We ought to stop and praise the Lord for saving us. And if we're around somebody that needs to be saved, we ought to tell them how to be saved. But we start in verse 8 tonight, where Paul says, "First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world." What Paul was saying is, hey, I'm thankful for what I've heard about you. Wherever I go, and that's when he says throughout the whole world, that's a common expression that was used back in his day for everywhere. So what he was saying is, everywhere I go, I hear somebody talk about your faith. Now, when we get down, if we get down to verse 17 tonight, Paul's going to quote from the book of Habakkuk, chapter 2, verse 4, where the Bible says, "The just shall live by faith." Those that are saved not only got saved by faith, but they ought to live by faith. And he was telling the Romans, "I've heard that you're doing that. I've heard testimonies about how your lives were changed when you met Jesus Christ and how you're living that changed a life." And it ought to be the same for us, because people will notice today just like they did in Paul's day. If you're living a life of faith, if you're trying to do what's right according to this book, if you're trusting God. And I'm not talking about trusting him for salvation. That's how you get to be just, is trusting him for salvation. But I'm talking about trusting him in everything. Driving on black ice. A hand that was swollen. Just trusting him for everything. People are going to notice. And they're going to talk about the faith that we live out in our lives. So Paul says, "I thank God that everywhere I go, I hear about your faith. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers." Paul says, "I pray for you all the time." God's my witness. He knows that I lift you up in prayer. The word "serve" in verse 9 is a Greek word, and I won't try to say it, L-A-T-R-U-O. And what it means is how a priest serves in the temple, the service that he did in serving God in the temple. Paul used it in other places to mean, and it was translated worship. But Paul's prayer life was a big part of his life of service for the Lord. In every one of his epistles, he tells the people that he's writing to, "You are in my prayers. I pray for you." And again, that was a large part of Paul's service as he served God. I was talking to one of the ladies in our church who is not quite yet a shut-in, but it's hard for her to get out. And we were just talking about some things, and she said, "Preacher, I wish I could do more. I used to do more. I wish I could do more. It seems like now the only thing I can do is pray." I said, "Stop right there. Don't ever minimize prayer. Don't ever minimize and say the only thing that I can do is pray. The greatest thing that you can do is pray. And when you hold other people up in prayer, you are doing a mighty work. Don't ever apologize and say, that's all I can do. That's a mighty work in your service for God, is to pray for other people. Now, let me read verses 10 through 13 at the same time. Making request, if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end ye may be established. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me. Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, but was let hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. And so Paul says in these verses, I want to come see you. I've tried at different times, but it wasn't God's will for me to come at that time. And Paul says, I want to come when it's God's will. But what he says in those verses is there's three reasons I want to come see you. First of all, I want to come see you to build you up. I want to give you some. I want to talk to you about what we have in Jesus Christ. I want to establish you more firmly in the gospel. I want you to understand more fully what we have in our salvation and what that means as to how we live our life. And so when he says, I want to impart unto you some spiritual gift, that's what he was talking about. I want to help build you up. And then he says, I want to be comforted by you. One of Paul's lifetime desires, and he mentions it at the tail end of the book of Romans, is that he wanted to go to Spain and preach. There had been no evangelism in Spain. And Paul, again, will say in the latter part of the book of Romans, I truly want to go to Spain. Rome would have been a good stopover point on his way to Spain. And so on the way to Spain, he would need some place to stay. He would need some food to eat. He would need fellowship with other Christians on that journey. And so he says, I want to come so that you can provide those things for me. But then he also says, number three, that not only that, I want to come and preach there. So there'll be other people there that will get saved. There'll be other people there that will meet Christ. I long, he says, I'm home. It's the same phrase that the person uses, says, I'm homesick. Paul says, I'm just sick. I want to, I miss you. I not miss because he'd never been there, but I want to see you so much. I just want to come and be with you. Now, in verses 14, 15, and 16, Paul makes three statements that describe his sharing the gospel in Jesus Christ, and it ought to describe us and our desire to share the gospel with other people. Now, we're going to read these verses in a minute, but let me just tell you what he's going to say. In fact, I was reading a sermon this afternoon that a preacher was reminding me that the best tool to get truth across, the best teaching tool, is repetition. And somebody asked this preacher what he thought about that, and he said, oh, I agree with it. I tell my folks what I'm going to tell them, and then I tell them, and then I tell them what I told them. And that way to get the truth. But Paul says, here's what he says. He says three things. He says, I am debtor. I am debtor. He says, I am ready. I am ready. And number three, I am not ashamed. I am not ashamed. Now, those three things characterized his life, and they ought to characterize our life as Christians. So he says in verse 14, I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. What Paul is saying is, I owe the whole world a debt. That debt was because of the love that Jesus Christ showed to me. Paul, one of the bases that Paul believed that we ought to serve God is because we owe a debt to him, a love debt to him, and that love was extended to us by God and by Jesus Christ when God sent his son to die on Calvary's cross, and Jesus came and died for us. Paul says, I am a debtor to God. I am a debtor to Jesus Christ because of his love. I think the same idea inspired Isaac Watts when he wrote that verse of that song that we sing at the cross when he penned these words. But drops of grief can ne'er repay the debt of love I owe. Here, Lord, I give myself to thee. 'Tis all that I can do. Paul says, I am debtor. I owe a great debt to my God. I owe a great debt to my Savior. I owe that debt because they showed their love to me. And Paul says, the only thing I can do to even, he said, and what he would say is, I can't pay it back. The only thing I can do is give myself to the gospel. That love brought me to the gospel. I owe a debt. I give myself to the gospel. And when he said both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, he was talking about everybody. Now, you know, in the Jewish mind, there were just Jews and Gentiles. In the Greek mind, there was Greeks and everybody else. But in God's mind, there's just saved and lost. There's no nationality distinction with God. And when Paul was saying the Greeks, he was probably including the Romans, because the Roman civilization and culture was really a blend of what they brought to the party and what they picked up from the Greeks. They call it the Greco-Roman culture. And so when Paul said the Greeks, he was probably saying Greeks and Romans, and then the barbarians, everybody else. And so he was saying, I'm debtor to the whole world. I owe a debt to the whole world to tell them about Jesus Christ. And then he says in verse 15, so as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. Now listen, all of us are debtors. If you're a Christian tonight, you owe a debt to God. You owe a debt to Jesus Christ because they loved you. And the best thing we can do is, like Paul says and like that song says, is to just give ourselves a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. So we're all debtors. We all should not be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. We're going to talk about that in the next verse, verse 16. The problem is we're not all ready to preach. We're not all ready to share the gospel. But Paul was. He says, I'm ready. I'm a chosen vessel. I've tried to keep myself clean, and I am ready. He was like that old country preacher. Somebody came to him one time and says, preacher, how do you get your sermons together on Sunday morning? He says, here's what he says. Well, here, let me tell you how I do it. He says, I read till I'm full. I think till I'm clear. I pray till I'm hot, and then I just let myself go. I think that's pretty good. I read till my mind is full. Then I think until I get it clear. Then I pray till the Holy Spirit sets me on fire, and then I just turn myself loose. And that's what Paul said. I'm ready. I've studied. I've thought it through and can make it clear and plain. I've prayed for the Holy Spirit of God's power. I am ready to preach the gospel. Now, I dare say that we probably need to do those same three things to get ready. We need to stay in this book. This is what feeds us. This is where we learn the truth. We need to think about it so it becomes clear in our mind so that we can explain it simply, not only to another adult, but to a little child. Then we need to pray that God will give us just the Holy Spirit power. And then we just need to turn ourselves loose and go get them. And then in verse 16, Paul says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power, and that word power comes from the same Greek word that we get our word dynamite from. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Maybe Paul had in mind when he wrote this verse what Jesus said as recorded in Luke 9:26, where the Bible says, for whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he shall come in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels. And some people might ask, well, why would Paul have any reason to be ashamed? Well, he could have been ashamed because of the persecution that came to those that put their faith in Christ and shared that faith. He could have just been ashamed because he didn't want to endure that persecution. He could have been ashamed because as a Jew, his fellow countrymen thought that this gospel was perverting the law that they had lived by. He could have been ashamed because the educated Greeks said the gospel was just pure foolishness, didn't amount to anything. And he could have been ashamed because the atheist said, or the pagans accused the Christians of being atheists because they did not believe in the pagan gods. And if you were accused by a Roman of being an atheist, even though you were a Christian, I mean, you were an atheist because you didn't believe in their gods, they could take you as slave labor. They could execute you. I mean, Paul had a lot of reasons where he could have stepped back and said, well, I'm not going to be so bold in my preaching of the gospel, but there's not one indication anywhere in the Bible that Paul was the least a bit ashamed or held back his zeal or his boldness as he preached Jesus Christ. It did not matter who he stood before. It did not matter what situation he was in. It did not matter what danger might have come his way as he preached the gospel. He was hot and ready to go and let it rip. Didn't matter who he offended. It didn't matter who he was preaching to. If there were people, Paul said, these people need to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he preached it. And he said, and again, that word power, it's the power of God. It's the dynamite of God. The gospel does something that no human reasoning or no human argument can do. It blasts away self-complacency. It blasts away self-delusion. It blasts away self-reliance. Now, nothing else in mankind's reasoning or argument can do that. Only the gospel of Jesus Christ. It confronts people with their sin and their guilt. It confronts people with the right that God has to punish that sin. It confronts people with the truth that unless that sin is paid for by somebody else, they have to pay the price. And it reveals to them the payment that God made in the form of his Son. And so Paul says, I am debtor. I am ready. I am not ashamed. It should characterize every one of our lives. And then in verse 17, oh, and by the way, he says, to the Jew first, because it came to the Jews first. But then to the, what does he say there? And then to the Greek. Paul says, it's for everybody. And then quickly look at verse 17. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. We did not know what righteousness was until Jesus Christ came. He is the epitome. He is the greatest example that we have of what righteousness is. We were sinful. We were unholy. We had no idea what it was to live in righteousness. But he came. He paid the price for our sin. We can stand before God justified, just as if we've never sinned. We can stand before God in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And so the gospel, when that verse starts out, for therein, it's in the gospel, through the gospel, that we learn what righteousness is. We learn how to appropriate that righteousness for ourselves. And it's revealed from faith to faith. You see, the gospel is made available to every person, but we have to take it in faith. For by grace are ye saved through faith. We take it in faith. And then Paul says we need to live in faith. Again, he quotes from the book of Habakkuk, the just shall live by faith. So it's from faith to faith. It's from saving faith to living faith. It's from a faith that trusts Jesus Christ to pay for our sin to a faith that says I can depend on Him for everything that happens in my life, for every situation in my life. I don't need to worry. I don't need to fear. I can put my faith in Him and live in that faith. Know that I am one of His children. He knows what I need. He will supply every need, and I don't need to worry about it. From faith to faith, that's how He wants us to live. The just shall live by faith. Glad you were here tonight. Let's stand, have a word of prayer. We'll be dismissed.